Even if you're listening in Hobart, Tasmania, you could send us, you know, five units of currency, or maybe get yourself a t-shirt, whatever you like. So stay tuned. Here comes Linda Olson Osterlin on KBOO Portland, going out to you via our terrestrial transmitters and via the World Wide Web to all the ships at sea.
The Film Show features news and interviews about the local and independent film scene. That's The Film Show, the fourth Thursday of the month at 11:30 a.m., only on KBOO Portland.
Thank you for tuning in to A Deeper Look. I'm your host, Linda Olson Osterlund, and this is the final episode of A Deeper Look. I want to thank all of you listeners who have supported this show with your ears and with your dollars. It's a privilege and an honor to have done a show on KBOO, and I'm grateful for all the opportunities this show has given me, the different people that I've gotten to interview and meet around this, and the topics I've gotten to learn about, and the training that I've gotten from KBOO and the support from the staff has all been something I really appreciate. But for a while now, I felt that the show had sort of run its course, at least inside of me, and that it was time for me to do something different. So I decided to go ahead and retire the show, give somebody else a chance to fill in this time slot. I'm not leaving KBOO, not for a minute. You can catch me anchoring the Friday evening news, and I will continue to be a substitute host for other morning public affairs shows. If I come up with a new show, you'll be among the first to know. Don't worry about that. And for my final show, I wanted to revisit two of the topics that I have covered repeatedly in the past and that I feel really strongly about. And I feel also that there's something that we can do something about. So the two topics are the Guantanamo Bay prison camp and the Angola Three, in particular Albert Woodfox, the only man of three men, Black Panthers, who were locked up in Angola prison in Louisiana. All have had their charges overturned. Robert King was released in 2001, I believe, and Herman Wallace was released 3 days before he died last year. Albert Woodfox is the only one still locked in prison. His conviction has been overturned three times. So we're going to get to talk today to Robert King. He is the one that was released in 2001, and since that time, he has tirelessly worked to have the other Angola Three freed, and to work in the cause against solitary confinement and to reveal to the American public the horrors that really are and the injustices that are really perpetrated in our prisons. Welcome to KBOO again, Robert King. Are you there, Robert? I'm sorry about that. We had a little technical glitch and we lost him for a moment. We'll get him back on. For those who don't have much background in the case, this was the Angola prison was known as the bloodiest and the most corrupt prison in the nation in a time when prisons were even worse than they are now, or at least we thought they thought they'd improve since that time. They became Black Panthers. They were people who had committed minor crimes, were in prison in Louisiana, in the farm. And the conditions there included, rape of new prisoners, horrible living conditions, horrible, brutal working conditions out on what was a plantation and still was run like a plantation, and a lot of corruption in how everything was run, including that the trustees acted as guards, were running a lot of the criminal activities that were going in there. The Black Panthers fought against that and fought to educate people about why it was they would be in that prison. And because of that, they were, of course, hated. So there was a trumped-up murder charge, a bribed witness, the only witness, forensic evidence that didn't match any of the Angola 3, etc. And so their trials have all been overturned again and again. Albert Woodspock still remains in prison, though, and that's the case that we want to touch on in the hopes that you will take some action on his behalf. Robert, do we have you there on the phone now?
Yes, I am here, Linda.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Mm-hmm. You're so welcome.
Well, can you talk to us about what's happening with Albert right now? He is still locked in solitary confinement. Is that correct?
Yes, Linda, that is correct. He is still locked in solitary confinement, and this is despite the fact that, you know, his sentence has been overturned for a third time, and we are waiting. There has been a hearing by the Fifth Circuit to determine whether or not Judge Brady's decision to grant him a new trial will stand, and we are waiting on that decision. That should come up sometime, hopefully in September or October at the most. Yes, but he's still being held in solitary confinement, and this is what this hearing is all about. On September the 4th, I believe. I'll be out the country when that happened, but this hearing is to determine whether or not the authorities in Louisiana had the right to move him and to do so and place him in another solitary confinement. When he was moved from Camp J, he was in Herman, was sent to Hunt, as you know, before he died, but Albert was sent to Wade Correctional Institute, and which is about 150 miles or so, a couple of hundred miles away from Angola State Prison, and it's in northern Louisiana, and it's isolated, very, very isolated. It is much more confining than Angola could ever be. And so, yes, he is being held in solitary confinement, and he has been challenging issues while being held there. I think this is now 2 years he has been held at Wade Correctional Institute. That is in Houma, Louisiana, or in northern Louisiana, a couple of hundred miles away from New Orleans and Angola State Prison.
And if any of you in the audience, listening audience, want to be in communication with Albert, you can be. Go to angola3.org. That's the easiest way to find his address and being able to communicate with him. That's one thing that people can do to show support, to make a tangible difference. I've heard some statements of Albert's about how being in solitary confinement affects a person and how it takes so much effort just to not lose your mind, not start screaming, and that's actually one of the fears he's had, that he will lose his mind before he gets out.
Yes, the impulse is there, and the condition is created to induce those type of impulses, to make you want to scream, make you want to holler. Yes, and it takes every ounce of strength and perhaps courage and willpower, to not succumb to it. But it's a day-to-day struggle, and Albert recognized this, and I think the more people recognize, he recognizes his situation, and it's like, being able to determine or hear a train on the track, you know it's coming before you see it. So he recognized the traits, and I think he is prepared to continue to deal with this. Hopefully, all of this will come to an end. Of course, we have been hoping for some time, but hopefully, in September or early October, all of this will come to an end. Should the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeal decide, to go with Judge Brady in a federal court, in a lower federal court, that he should obtain a new trial. But I don't want to confuse, Linda, what's going on in September because we are expected a ruling to determine what I just spoke about in September. But also, Albert has filed a suit, it's all sort of like an appendix suit against the state of Louisiana, and Judge Brady granted that suit. That was dealing with the humanizing and a search that he had to go through, and then bringing him from one solitary confinement to a one that is much greater than the one that he had been to. And then they are trying to determine whether or not that will stand. And okay. This is where we are now. They are dealing with part of a civil suit in which Albert just filed because he because what had happened when he was transported from Angola, he was transported to a much worse prison.
And that worst prison, originally when he was there, he was being strip searched and body cavity searched every time he went to see a visitor, including his attorney. I believe that was the circumstance. That has changed because of this suit that you're talking about. We'll have a hearing in September 4th.
Yes, that is the suit because the state did challenge that. To determine whether or not they still had that right to do so. So all of this is part of a silver suit, and it's just an extenuation of the original silver suit in which Albert Herman and I filed when I was in prison with regards to the solitary confinement status. And the court has already ruled on this case that my 29 years constituted a cruel and unusual punishment. The Fifth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeal has to determine that we are going to trial. We were expected to go to trial sometime in July, but all of these other things came up, and this is where we will determine whether or not the civil suit will proceed. Once they conclude this proceeding in September, then we'll know a date will be set for us to go to trial on the civil suit. But at the same time, the criminal case, too, is expected to come up around the same time. A three-judge panel on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeal has already heard that that case, and they are making a determination, and it should happen sometime either in September or October.
So there's actually sort of three different things going on right now.
Indeed.
And now Judge Brady Indeed. Was the judge who released Herman Wallace. Is that accurate? Herman Wallace was released a few days before he died.
Actually, it was Judge Jackson.
Oh, Judge Jackson. Okay, so it was a separate judge
It was a separate federal judge. It was Judge Jackson who released him. And if you notice, Herman Kids had rested in Judge Tyson while he had terminal counsel for years, for 2 years, and it sat there, and then he died, and then Judge Jackson was appointed. And he was the one who ordered Herman, looking at the evidence, and not just Herman condition, of course, that was part of the equation as well, we can presume. But he looked at the issues, and Herman's case was overturned when he heard the case. He overturned Herman's case and ordered his release that same day, and Herman was released that same day.
All right. And so it is within the power of them to release him. And that's one of the things that probably the thing that we would want the most would be that they would release him immediately since his conviction has been overturned and there's no new trial scheduled.
None, but what's happening is this is a procedure thing, and the procrastination is on the part of the state's attorney general, Buddy Caldwell. They give him this option to appeal. Of course, he is abusing the process. He abused the process when Albert Case was overturned the second time when he put a lot of misinformation out there, and the Fifth Circuit Court heard this misinformation. I think they were somehow influenced. Public opinion counts, and I do believe that they outcounted us. I'm sorry to say it. They outcounted us in getting this opinion out, and Albert Case was overturned as a result of that. But this particular time here, the judge overturned Albert Case again. And he has the same procedure to ask, for an en banc court or to ask the court to hold it up and relitigate. But he is running out of those legal, procedures that he has to litigate this case. And I'm thinking is that if the court uphold Albert's case, the position that he should be given a new trial, nothing Caldwell can do or the state can do. They can file a few frivolous motions that won't have any impact on Albert being released, ultimately released from prison.
And
that's my belief.
right now, it seems to me that there's more support for Albert and for the Angola 3 and the end of this solitary confinement of Albert than there ever has been. There has Amnesty International has taken up this case strongly and is has, if you want to find a petition to sign or take action, you can go to Amnesty International and look up the case of the Angola 3. Also, the United Nations Rapporteur has spoken about Albert's solitary confinement in specific and said that it is clearly a violation of international law and constitutes torture. So one of the, it's horrible, but one of the benefits of this long case and this long extended solitary confinement is that we are getting international attention to the solitary confinement that happens throughout our nation. I'm later going to be talking about Guantanamo Bay prison camp and how many of us in America were shocked and surprised at the horrifying conditions and the treatment of the prisoners there, not really realizing that many, many prisoners, especially with the mass incarceration of black men throughout this nation, face very similar conditions. Anywhere where we have a CMU or a solitary confinement, almost any prisoner who happens to not be able to go by the rules, or they decide he belongs to a gang, or they make up whatever they want, can be thrown into solitary confinement that's extraordinarily brutal. They use brutal teams to come in and pull, extract people out of the of their confinement. They are in really total isolation for 23 and a half hours a day. And so I think that the horror of what Albert is still going through is benefiting us all, has benefited us. I don't mean it's like something we want to go on, but our eyes have been open to what our nation is willing to do and that we normally don't look at.
Yes, of course. And to, as you alluded to, correct. And there is a continuing effort by Amnesty, Amnesty International. Matter of fact, my trip to Liverpool, I will be with the Amnesty International head. We are on a panel speaking about solitary confinement and the Angola 3 case proper and all the other cases in Louisiana. But Amnesty USA is also on board, and the continuing effort is sometime in October there will be some event that we are planning, some event to take place somewhere in Louisiana, perhaps, commemorating Herman's, 1 year debt and the fact that if Albert is not released, or if he is released, our efforts continue anyway, and Amnesty will be on board in some way, because they're, part of the coalition who deals with human rights, and prison solitary confinement is a part of it. And they have, made themselves appear on stage with solitary confinement, and I think they're there to stay. And I think all of our efforts together, reflecting on this, can bring about that needed change that you spoke about. With that Albert, even though he is, how long the kids go on, it impact and affect other people. And yeah, that was the intent. That we had this in mind. It wasn't just about us. When we decided to file against, solitary confinement, we understood that they were using our case as a catalyst, and we could use our case, just because of how they perceive things, they not use our case as a human rights case to warn other prisoners that the same thing would happen. They would use our case in a much diverse, perverted sense to show that, well, if they are able to endure it, then anybody else can endure it. That is the type of mentality that
is a really twisted, because the truth is that some people can begin to lose their capacity to function within 3 weeks.
After 20 minutes.
Yes, that's actually true. People have those accounts, and I've talked to psychiatrists who've worked with people who've been in solitary that said it's very difficult for almost any what we would consider normal, sane person to survive in and keep their cognitive functioning. Their brains actually begin to shrink for many people.
It does. It shrinks. I was with some scientists in Chicago less than a year ago, American Association of Scientists Against Solitary Confinement, and I really spoke up. They had this doctor there, this neurosurgeon, and she definitely had concluded. But it's strange, you know. I felt the shrinkage of my brain. Because my brain became acclimated to short distances. I even lost my sight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to wear glasses. Of course, that's another story.
But so, yeah, it has a definite physical effect.
Say it again, I'm sorry.
I was saying, yes, it definitely has an incredible physiological effect on almost anybody. And that Herman and Albert and you were able to maintain a sense of purpose while you were in there and maintain your ability to function is amazing. And I know that each one of you has struggled with it in different ways, because Herman talked about the way it had impacted him as well.
Well, yes, but again, like, I think I always, you know, allude to the fact that perhaps it was the buoyancy and what I received, the insulation that I received was the fact that I had become, quote, you know, politically conscious, politically aware,
yes,
of what was going on in society. And I think I was, you know, sort of incubated me to some degree from going what people call, quote, insane. But I'm quick, Linda, to let people know that. Hold up, wait a minute. I didn't tell y'all I wasn't crazy. I don't know why you didn't go crazy. I didn't tell y'all I wasn't crazy, because, again, I don't think no one could get dipped in waste and not come up.
Nothing. Yes, come out changed.
It's impossible, but you can, if you can define it, if you know what is going on, and I think my political awareness allows me to see what, put things in context and perspective as to what was going on, and being able to do this, that kind of served as a buoyancy for me. And I'm sure Herman and Albert may not explain it the same way I do, but it equates to the same. They would tell you perhaps they got there the same way, they overcome the same way I did.
Yes. Now, I know that in the current situation, that you're also working with the organization Solitary Watch, and so that is also I have put links on our website. If you go to today's schedule where it talks about this show, A Deeper Look, there is a link to Solitary Watch and to Angola3.org. So you, the listener, have a chance to find out more and take direct action through those websites, and also to begin a correspondence with Albert if you want to, which I think is an important thing also to do. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. King, it's really good to hear you. We will continue to keep a focus on Albert. My show won't be going on, but of course I work in the news department here, and as news comes out and we hear about it through newsletters that get sent out, that's the other thing, is if you want to get a regular newsletter, go to angola3.org and you can sign up to receive the newsletter via your email, which I always find they're very helpful and very useful. So thank you so much for joining us today, Robert.
Oh, no. Kind voice. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you on this issue. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We are unable to contact our other guest, Andy Worthington. This is a very unusual circumstance, since we were confirmed and he is a very reliable person. So I'm going to assume that something we didn't expect has happened. We've been making great efforts to reach him for a couple hours and it's just not happening. So what I'm going to do is give myself a chance to talk to you about Guantanamo and what's going on in Guantanamo right now. So at this time, there are 149 prisoners still in Guantanamo. There's some number of them on hunger strike. There are letters coming out from inside Guantanamo. A man named Imad Hassan wrote about how the hunger strikers are almost all now vomiting on the chairs when they're forced to eat, that the force feeding is so brutal and the way that they do it, and they're so sensitive after all of this time, that the nutrients don't stay down and they just come back up and through their nose. It's a very painful and violent and awful thing, something that international law says is illegal, the force feeding of hunger strikers. It's also true that it's something like 400 and some days since President Obama said that he would begin releasing people. And since that time, only 17 people have been released. Five of those were the most recent who were, quote, Taliban officials who were traded to release an American soldier. Now, I'm all for getting an American soldier home, but I think that when you realize that there are 79 men in there who were cleared by our bizarre rules for release, and yet we won't release those, the innocent, but we will release those that we think are guilty to, it's pretty astounding that that's the way it operates. It's actually not astounding, but it's pretty wrong that that's the way it operates. It's clear that there is no justice in the system at Guantanamo. Another situation that's been going on in Guantanamo has been the sort of legal collapse of the military commission system. There have been several challenges to it. One was brought by David Hicks. He is an Australian who was at Guantanamo for 6 years. He has written about how he was tortured while he was there. He agreed to go to a military commission tribunal and pled guilty to providing material support. He did this because he thought it was the only way that he was ever going to leave Guantanamo, and he was going crazy, as we were just talking about what can happen to people in those kinds of conditions. He was losing his mind. Well, since that time, there has been a legal ruling on another prisoner that said that providing material support was not a war crime at the time that these men were charged with doing it. And so they could not be convicted of it as a war crime. Well, that victory also bled over to David Hicks and will to some others, and makes it very hard for the military commissions to go forward. So that's one, I think, very good thing, is that the military commissions are not going to be able to continue to move forward. Another issue that's going on in Guantanamo right now is that one torture victim who's still locked in Guantanamo has managed to get his own diary he kept of his torture and of his treatment. He's been able to get that diary out through his attorney, and it is now going to be published in the United States by Little Brown and Company, and in the UK by Canongate. I believe it's going to come out in January of 2015. That will no doubt cause a big storm, and should, because of the incredibly horrible treatment that people have been receiving there. Another thing that could also help with that is there is a wife of one of the prisoners who is demanding that a video of the force feeding of her husband be made public. Now, she's doing this through courts, and a U.S. judge has ordered the government to stop force-feeding him and had at one point said that the video should be released. Once again, if a video like that can get public, that makes such a big difference. The unfortunate ruling a court handed down recently was that they could still do body cavity searches on a routine basis in Guantanamo, which is an issue that has kept some prisoners, many prisoners, from seeing their attorneys. And many believe that that's why this was instituted. So every time a prisoner wants to, his attorney has gotten to Guantanamo, is there to talk over his case with him. He is forced to endure a body cavity search. That's bad for anybody in the Muslim religion. That's really bad. And the judge said that we must assume that if the prison guards say it's necessary, it is necessary. And that's also a bad ruling, because we do know that prison guards aren't averse from lying, just like anyone else within that justice system. So, you know, that brings you kind of up to date on what's been happening with Guantanamo. I'm sorry that we weren't able to have Andy Worthington on. We will have him on again in the future, not on A Deeper Look, because A Deeper Look won't be existing, but we will have him on other shows. As I told you earlier, Kathleen Stevenson, who is the AM News and Public Affairs Director, always leaves a little room for people to fill in and do shows, so that there's some timely content. There's openings available for that. And there's also openings on other shows that come up. And so I'm happy to be a substitute host, and I will be that. I want to say before I leave that I've really loved working with Kathleen Stevenson in the morning and with all the engineers today. It's Kristen Yount. I've had Rock. I've had Emily. I've had really great engineers. It really is a privilege and a joy to work at KBOO. If you have any inclination, come and become a programmer yourself. It's something that we're all trained to do from the very beginning right here at KBOO. They train us. And so it's something you can do too. And please continue your long and wonderful support of KBOO. That's all for today.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Up next, Eric Cascadia.